And we got to see that every spiritual blessing comes from Christ. We got to see that God is sovereign over every individual salvation. And we got to see that he's got a purpose for our lives as he calls us out to follow him. And so praise and glory to God in all of these things. We got to see that it's through him that we are able to follow him. And it's according to his good pleasure and his purpose in himself that he will be glorified forever in heaven through his people gathering around the throne. Amen. And as we have chosen to follow him, as he draws us, and just to think that everybody is in heaven because they want to be with God. Can you imagine the atmosphere of that? Isn't that awesome? When you think about, like, there's not going to be any more sin. There's not going to be any more contention between people. There's not going to be any jealousy. In fact, we're finally going to be in a place where we can worship God with nothing else distracting us at all. And we're going to have, like, the perfect place to spend forever in because of what God has done. He deserves all the glory. Amen? And so it kind of builds us up to today's message. We see that Paul is instructing the church in Ephesus here, and he's got a heart for them. And today we see that he literally prays over them. And as we read through this prayer, as we study this prayer of his desire for the church, I want it to become our bullseye of what we aim our life for. It's really important for us to have a bullseye to aim at. You know, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but people seem a little hopeless sometimes in our culture. Amen? A little confused. A little aimless, you might say. They a lot of times they lose hope because they're not really sure what to be even aiming toward with their life. They're not sure what their purpose is. Dare I say, I'm afraid this even happens in the church. Sometimes churches are going nowhere because they don't know where to go. They're not hitting anything because that's exactly what we're aiming at sometimes is nothing. And if we're aiming at nothing, we're guaranteed that's what we'll hit. If our life looks like that, that's where our life will go. If the Christian life looks like that, even though God can sovereignly still do some stuff through us, honestly, sometimes our life can look very aimless and confusing to others. And so I think it's so important that we listen to this prayer that we find in Ephesians chapter 1 from verses 15 through 23 as he shows the Ephesian church what to shoot for. I think it still is what we should be aiming for today. Amen? God's word still applies. It's still relevant. I keep hearing that word relevant in our culture these days. You know, it's got to be relevant, preacher. The Bible is relevant. It will always be relevant. As written, it is relevant to us today. And so go ahead and open your Bibles then to Ephesians chapter 1. And as you're doing that, I'm just going to kind of raise the question, the first slide there in your notes. Now that you're born again, what next? What does it mean? Well, first of all, it means I will be in heaven forever, amen? That's a good thing. But that's not the end of it all. You see, God's got a purpose for us, and Paul shows us what to shoot for in our Christian life by what he prayed for concerning the new believers in Ephesus. So let's just put that on kind of like as our clothing today, that this prayer for the Ephesians is the prayer for the church. And if you're part of the church, the body of Christ, this is his prayer for you. This is God's heart for you. These are divine words. This wasn't just Paul and his opinion. This was the Holy Spirit praying through Paul. And so as we look at this, let's all stand for a reading of God's word this morning. Its main focus verses are 15 through 23, but I'm going to back up to 13 just to get the context. Because this is assuming that that's where we are in our walk with Christ. And we'll talk about this later. If you're not there, you can be there. It just takes a matter of you surrendering your heart to God through Jesus, admitting that you're a sinner, giving your heart to Jesus, becoming a child of God, and then you can be here, what it's talking about in verse 13. But let's start there, because this is the assumption that's being made. This is where we start. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's pray. Oh, Father, it would be such a tragedy if we read these verses and did not really contemplate, meditate on them, and think about what this is saying. Oh, Lord, these are not just words on a page. This is your heart toward the church. This is your heart for the body of Christ. Lord, you extended your desire through our dear brother Paul, who went before us some almost 2,000 years ago. And it's still just as true today. Oh God, open our spiritual eyes this morning. That is your desire for us as we unpack these verses and apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You can all have a seat. Let's break this down. I mean, as we look at this, it's so amazing the thing that he's desiring for us to be able to see. So let's say everybody in this room, I pray, is already born again. If you're not, then we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ at the end of this service, to respond to his calling on your heart. And it really isn't this big complicated thing, guys. If God is pulling at your heart, if he's saying Jesus is the way, and he's causing you to have faith in this area of your heart, then you need to just give your life to Christ. Become a child of God. And then as we receive that, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals us for redemption, of being lifted up someday completely. Then he wants us to have faith in the Lord Jesus and to love his saints. And you know, every once in a while I run across people that say, well, I love Jesus, but I just can't stand the church. Guys, I'm going to tell you, those two things just don't go together. The church is the bride of Christ. The church ultimately is his body. The church are the children of God. If you were to tell me that you really love me, but you hate my children, I'd say, I don't think we're going to be very close. There's a problem with that. But there's people every day saying that about Jesus. You know what God really wants is if we have faith in Jesus, who and he's our Lord. You see, it says Lord Jesus. Yes, he is the Lord, but is he your Lord? Is he your boss? Is he your king? If he's not, then you need to get off the throne and let him have it. And then once you've done that, he wants you to not only love God, but love all the saints. I don't know how long some of you guys have been in the church, but you're going to find out that We're called saints even though we're not quite there yet. You get the idea? So some people think saint means perfect. Saint just means set apart. And we're still working on the perfect part. We're not complete yet. So if you're looking for the perfect church so that you can go there, you'll ruin it when you get there because none of us are really perfect. So what we need to do is look for the church that God's called us to. And then in that local church, he wants us to love each other. Amen. And then from there, you're going to understand the church is bigger than Cadet. It's all over the world. And he wants us to love the church of the world. He wants us to love the saints all over the world. That's his desire for us. Guys, I've got 9 kids. I've got 9 children. Whenever I look at them and they function together in our home, it grieves my heart to see them bickering and fighting. I'm not going to name any names. They all looked really nervous there. But it happens. You know, even me and their mother sometimes have done this. It grieves them to see us do it. How much more do you think it grieves God to see us doing it with one another on earth? Especially within the church. And so he says on this account, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Guys, be thankful for one another. Amen. Love each other. It's awesome that we get to be part of one another. We don't all agree on everything. Amen. But what we do agree on that brings us here is that fundamental thing that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And as we agree and we go out from there, guys, let's remember to pray for one another. He wants us to love Christ and through that faith to love the church and through that faith be thankful for one another. And through that faith, pray for one another. I need your prayers. And you know, you may not know it, but you need my prayers too. And so let's just be humble and admit it. Let's be thankful to hear that I made the prayer list. You know, I've had people sometimes, they see their name on the prayer list and they come to me all upset. Preacher, why are you praying for me? You think there's something wrong with me? Guys, all of our names should be on the prayer list. You pray for me. You pray for my heart. You pray for my marriage. You pray for my family. You pray for my children. You pray for my grandchildren. Because you know what? We're all messed up. And we all need help. You may think I'm going to get in trouble, but my wife was nodding too. She said, you sure are. We all are. And we all need those prayers. And you know what else he wants for us? So this is something we're aiming at, right? We're aiming at. Whenever you get ready to go deer hunting, do I have any deer hunters? Got a few. I've asked this question before in this church and not even got a single hand. And man, did I ever feel alone. I'm glad I'm not alone today. We practice to go deer hunting. Do we just get out a piece of cardboard that's 4x8 and close our eyes and aim toward it and shoot? No! We put a teeny tiny little bullseye on there and we try to hit it in the center because we feel confident that if we can hit that bullseye, we can hit that big deer. That deer looks big till you go to shoot at it, guys. Life looks like it might be attainable till you actually try to do it. I remember the day I got saved and I walked outside. I thought, man, this is going to be easy. I'm silent for a minute on purpose because it's anything but easy. As soon as you get saved, Satan comes packing for you. And you know what? He can't steal our salvation. Sometimes he does a pretty good job of stealing our witness. So let's get aiming at the right target. Let's aim small so that even if we miss, we only miss by a little bit. But if we go into this thing just aiming big and we miss, then we've missed by a lot. Let's know what target we're aiming at. Let's know where the bullseye is because he wants us to love Jesus, love his saints, be thankful for one another, and pray for each other without ceasing. He wants us to know God better too. Amen? Whenever I first got saved, I thought, yeah, man, this is awesome. And then I realized how little I really knew about God and his holiness. He's awesome. He's bigger than I could ever imagine. And he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Guys, we don't have everything we need yet. We need to keep going back to God to get it. And as he opens our eyes, how many of you guys have read through the Bible? How many of you have read through the Bible more than once? Have you noticed you keep discovering new stuff? Okay, I'll bring it down smaller. How many of you have read at least one book of the Bible? One of the little spots. Okay, how many of you have you read that book more than once? Did you get new stuff out of it every time? It's incredible. You know, I heard described by a pastor, his name is John MacArthur, that before he ever preaches on a text, he will read the entire area of Scripture, sometimes the entire book of that Bible where that Scripture is found, at least 20 times in a row before he even starts to break it down and study it. We need to, like, ask God to open our wisdom, give us a spirit of wisdom. We need a revelation in the knowledge of him. That doesn't mean that it's like a new thought revelation. It means it's like an illumination. Did I ever tell you guys about the horrible accident I had earlier this year? I broke a couple ribs. How many of you guys heard about that? I whined about it for several weeks. Broken ribs hurt. That all happened because I was not illuminating my steps getting out of my shed, and there was a lawnmower sitting in the way that I didn't remember. My feet got tied up in that thing, and I'll just tell you, you think you can catch yourself, but I didn't do it. I landed on the engine. I landed on some kind of a mower chute thing that stuck up, and I rolled off, and I can't believe how far I rolled. I must have been doing 100 miles an hour whenever I hit that thing. Woke up, couldn't even remember totally what happened. All I know is I couldn't breathe. My side was hurting so bad. All that was because I was trying to walk in the dark without illumination. How much more treacherous do you think spiritual battle is? We're wandering around out here acting like, yeah, I got this. I don't need that light. I don't need to be having things lit up for me. I got this figured out. Satan can just pick us off. We need wisdom and revelation and more knowledge of him every day. Let's pray for that for one another. You pray for me, I'll pray for you, because we need it. We need to know God better. We need that our spiritual eyes be open to appreciate his calling and inheritance. It's really important, guys. You think that you've seen everything about God? You haven't even seen a minuscule little atom of how awesome God is yet. That's why we're going to have forever to appreciate him. But I think that forever starts right when you receive Christ. That forever with him starts right then. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You can ask for little bits and pieces of it now. And God would be opening our spiritual eyes, you know. I remember a place in the Old Testament where there was a prophet named Elisha. And he had a servant helper, and his servant helper came to him and he said, like, there's this huge army that's come against us. You know, it was the army of Syria. And they were all camped out on the mountain ready to come and attack this one guy. And so, of course, the servant was really upset. He went, master, you need to come see this. You need to come see this. I mean, like, this army is coming against us. And naturally, and I would be worried too if I knew no better. And Elisha went and he looked, and he didn't seem all that concerned about it. And he said, don't worry about it. There's more with us than there are with them. And his servant went, meh. Hey, master, you need to take another look here. And he said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. And when he opened his eyes, he could see there were angel armies around them. You see, guys, it's for real. just because you can't see it with your physical eyes doesn't mean that it ain't happening. There's a spiritual reality that's bigger than us, and we need to ask God to open our eyes. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, not just think, not just hope, not just imagine, know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Guys, if we know for sure what's waiting for us, we are not going to be afraid to go forward to attain it. There's so many people in the church that are so scared to death to die. Guys, death is not the enemy anymore. If you're in Christ, the only thing that's really the enemy is complacency and fear. We need to live boldly. And I think if our eyes of our understanding are enlightened, we will get rid of that fear. Because just like the master, the prophet looked out there and he could see the spiritual reality, as soon as his servant could see that spiritual reality, the fear was gone. There's more with us than are with them. Where God is, it's the majority. Sometimes we worry about how many demons are here. Those demons are fallen angels, and I know there's twice as many as them in heaven that are the real angels. Because a third were sent down, the other two-thirds are up there. We're okay. We got what we need. We've got the power of God. He is amazing. His power is unparalleled. Let our eyes be opened up so that we can appreciate that. And then he wants us to see his power that is available to us as believers. Can I get an amen to this? What kind of power are we talking about, folks? Look at what kind of power. Exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. How powerful is God? Well, I'll tell you how powerful God is. He raised Jesus from the dead. That same power is available to us. It's for us to position ourselves to believe in faith and to allow God to take up his cause through us. That power is available to us. And to recognize it is the same resurrection power that has Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father right now. Verse 20 shows us that which has he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Say, praise the Lord. It's the same power that raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Where is Jesus right now? He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And by his great power, that same power is available to us to see that he is King Jesus. When you pray through Jesus, I want you to know you're praying through King Jesus. You're not praying through Jesus who's still on some cross somewhere or in some tomb somewhere, because that ain't the Jesus that we follow. Our Jesus is the risen Jesus. He is King Jesus. King Jesus rules everything. And you know what? He's coming back someday to rule this earth. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Guys, above it all. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. King Jesus. King Jesus. Let's say it together. King Jesus. When we pray, you're praying to and through King Jesus. And you know what? If you belong to him, he's not going to somehow or another let you be harmed outside of his will, not even the slightest little bit. God is able to keep us through King Jesus. He wants us to see that above all this, he is also, I'll add the also this morning, head of his church. You know, sometimes we act like church is our thing and Jesus has got his thing and we're hoping that our thing sort of cooperates with his thing. If this ain't his thing, then we're all wasting our time. So we better make sure that we stay under his authority and we seek him first before we do anything, because he is King Jesus and he is head over his church. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church is essential. The church is significant. We kept hearing that word in 2020, the things that are essential. And the world said the church wasn't essential, but I'm here to say the church is essential. He said that it put all things under his feet. He's head over all things. He's head over the church. It's essential. And he wants us to see that the church is his body. Oh God, help us to never fight against your body, Lord. Forgive us, I pray, in Jesus' name. He wants us to see that it's his body, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He wants, how many of you guys have ever experienced the loss of a part of your body, maybe permanently? Some of us in the room may have. Or that it's crippled a part of us in a way that is a little bit hard to, you know, a handicap of some sort. And you really appreciate it all the more whenever you don't have that part, right? And you know, maybe you've had a temporary paralysis or something of a piece of your body too. You know, I remember one time I broke my right hand, and I'm right-handed. I'm very right-handed. I had to learn to be not so very right-handed then because I was stuck in a cast. And, I mean, the first time I tried to brush my teeth, I just about tore my gums off with the toothbrush left-handed. It was terrible. I couldn't eat left-handed, you know. And, I mean, it was like, I'm not even going to mention all the things I couldn't do left-handed. It was crazy. I couldn't hardly get dressed. I mean, it was terrible. Couldn't zip my pants. The world's made for right-handed people, I'm convinced. If you're left-handed out there, I'm sorry. It was tough. Boy, I was so glad when my whole body was working right again. You know, don't you think Jesus wants his body to work right? He just wants us to be in cooperation with the Spirit. He wants us to function well together. And you know what? If a church is established and part of their body isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing, it ain't going to work as efficiently as it could. Yes, he's sovereign, and yes, we have to cooperate with him in that. Yeah, this is his body that's here. It's his body that's the church worldwide. He doesn't want us to be working against it. He doesn't want us to be insulting it. He doesn't want us to be tearing it down. He wants us to be building it up. How do you want your body taken care of? Built up, right? He's the head of the church, and this is his body. Help us to build up your body, Lord. That's our bullseye. That's our bullseye. Grow in the knowledge of him. Have our spiritual eyes open. He wants us to realize he's King Jesus. He wants us to realize he's head of the church and put ourselves under that headship. He wants us to love all the saints as we love him. He wants us to pray for them without ceasing. He wants us to make sure that his body is being built up. Man, if we'll just do that, you know what? God is awesome. He's going to do his will whether we're engaged or not, but don't you want to be engaged in being part of the winning team? You see, the American Christian church looks a little aimless. It's in disunity. And we might even find out some of the people that call themselves a church aren't really that after all, but we got to let God point that out. We're going to leave that up to him. We just need to make sure we're doing what he called us to do. And I'll be honest, I think some of it's aimless because it's not sure what to aim for. And I think the more that we know, the better we'll do. You see, God expressed his heart for the church through Paul, and this is what we should aim for. And if we aim for nothing, guys, I'm going to guarantee you that's exactly what you're going to hit is nothing. So let's make sure we're hitting the right thing with our life. I don't want to get to the end of my life and stand before Jesus and find out that most of what I did burned on the way in. Because that's what he said. It's all going to be judged. And those things that are built on Christ will last. Those things that are not built on Christ are going to burn. And even so, that individual may be saved, and they'll be like one passing through the fire it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But here's the thing, guys. What I want to see is you storing your treasures in heaven. you doing what you do in life for His will and according to His purpose and in conjunction with and cooperation with Him as your head. And I'll tell you, you'll be storing up your treasures in heaven. And when you get there, you're going to be able to see those treasures are people that you've loved and prayed for, and you're going to get to spend forever with them. Let's pray. Dear God, as we come to an end of this message, I pray that it wouldn't be the end of our meditation on this scripture. I pray that we would, from here, continue to read over this and continue to have greater insight, and that you would open our spiritual eyes, give us greater wisdom and the knowledge of you, help us to see you and know you better. Lord, I pray that it would help us to even be more of a worshiper of you as we see how you're working every day to build up your body, the church. Lord, help us to just be in cooperation with your Spirit and your will in our own lives. The church will never be any stronger than its members, and the church will never be any stronger than the families that are part of it. And so, God, help us to realize that the first church we need to work on starts in our own house. Putting that all under this same bullseye in the target. Let's shoot for that as an individual. Let's shoot for that as a family. Let's shoot for that as a church. And I pray you'll be glorified through it. Lord, there may be some of us that need to respond to a drawing that you have on our life this morning. Whatever it is, I pray that we will respond. Maybe it's just to pray for somebody and go to the altar and just pray for an individual. It may be to go to that altar and realize that I need to repent. I've been shooting at the wrong bullseye. It may be that we realize at this moment, I'm not even saved. I need to give my life to Jesus. Whatever it is, I pray that we'll just be obedient to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.